Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay. We have the Women Tell All Golden Bachelor Edition. A heartfelt, I want to get your opinion, but inspiring the words, tearjerker. I don't know. They said this about themselves, so it's funny to like.
Yeah.
But I agree. How did you feel about last night's episode or tonight's episode or whatever? We taped these before.
First of all, when I turned it on and it was the Women Tell All, I'd forgotten
right.
that it was going to be the Women Tell All. And so I immediately was like, yes, the Women Tell All. Like, I'm excited for this.
I did forget also. That's funny you say that because I did. It got like it had the preamble and then it was like, and welcome to the Dome of the Undateables. I was like, oh, shit.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And then one thing, I don't know about you. I'm assuming so. For the Women Tell All or Men Tell All episodes, or I am never expecting tears ever me.
No,
I'm expecting like gasps and like, holy shit. And like,
right.
She looks great or he looks great. I'm never expecting to cry. And this episode had me in shambles.
Yeah, I to jump ahead a little bit, the Ellen on the couch. Jesse's crying. Susan's crying. I'm crying. The crowd is crying. The Dome of the Undateables are crying. It was, I'd have to say, if you weren't crying there, like, I don't know, like, maybe it's time to talk
seek
to someone.
Help.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, get like a, you know, prick yourself, see if you're alive. I don't know. It was unbelievable. And it was also like uber, uber relatable. Like, I think that was the big
yeah.
kind of word for me where it was like relatable city. Like, all of these people were speaking from a place of like, looking for someone, wanting someone. I mentioned this on the recap that the schedule's out of whack. On the recap that comes after this for the Bachelor in Paradise, it came
yeah.
up a little bit about Gary. When we did the interview with Gary earlier this week, and if you haven't listened to it, go back, listen to the interview with Gary. It was just such a fun talk. He's such a good guy. Like, easy talk, easy to... There was nothing off the
it's
tape.
It's really crazy.
That kind of comes up just about how he's a unicorn. Like, I don't know how we find 20 of him for the Golden Bachelorette if and when that happens. But he mm-hmm. was like... There was one part where he was like, I was like, what are you doing for dinner? And the idea that he was... He literally said, I'm going to put on some walking shoes and go to Central Park. And I was like, okay, what are you doing for
yeah,
dinner?
Yeah, what are you eating?
Yeah, like, and he's like, oh, I might get a hot dog off a cart. And I was like, oh, this dude is looking for someone to, he wants a companion. Like, he wants,
mm-hmm.
like, if he was with someone, it would have been, I don't know, where are we going to go? We're going to get the bite to eat,
yeah.
maybe walk to the park. Like, it was this thing of, like, I need someone else to, like, go through this space of life with. And that was kind of something the women were all kind of hitting on as well a little bit.
You know, it's interesting going back because we talked about it in that last episode. But thinking about it now again, it's a lot more sad than I had originally thought it was. At first it was like, I'm gonna go get a hot dog in a park, and I made the joke, I'm like, he needs a woman to make a reservation,
right.
like to like let me guide this through. But now it's more of like, yeah, you're right, it's more of just like, yeah, let's go figure it out, find somewhere cool. It's interesting and fun and adventurous when you're with someone else, just like find a random restaurant or get a hot dog off a cart and walk through Central Park. But when you're alone, I'm literally thinking about it right now and I'm sad.
You didn't make it sad, but you're right. It is like,
I know, but
I mean,
but thinking about it again, I'm like, right. Maybe I am sad.
And I just, you know, something we got to give ourselves credit for in the beginning of the season, like there were naysayers. There were people that thought this whole season was going to be sad. You know, again, the naysayers are probably the same for every season of The Bachelor. They're like, oh, who would do this to themselves? Who would go on this show? Who would embarrass themselves? I think, like, I heard them a little bit more because I was like, I think they sounded more miserable to say this about women of this age. You'd be like, who would go on this? Who, whatever, you know, look how they, you know, they were just mean comments. The mean comments felt meaner. I got to say, we got to give ourselves credit. We said from the beginning, this is going to be a happy story. This is going to be their 80 for Brady. This is going to be their adventure. They're going to get something out of this that they never expected. And we were right. Every woman on this dais was like, oh, my God. Like, I have a new hope. This guy, you know, they gave Gary a lot of credit. But I think, like, I mean, the credit is to the process. The credit is to them to leave the house and go and do something that is so different and outside of their thing. Like, they deserve credit, but it ended up being a happy story, which I think we called it. We said that.
We did say that from the beginning, and I am proud of us for you know, calling it out. And also, I think we kind of felt protective of them because I'm not saying we are older at all, but we are still single and old and...
And
older than most people that are single,
right?
Whatever,
well, you know.
Like,
there's, you know, in Bachelor Nation, if you're 30, you're old. You know, like before this show, you know, so to speak. Like when we would have to listen to 25-year-olds say, "Oh my God, I haven't had a boyfriend in 5 years," you'd be like, "Oh, you haven't had a boyfriend since you've been 20? Okay, cool." You know, like it becomes
tough to listen
to. Before
you were allowed to drink?
Right. Okay. I haven't had a boyfriend since, you know, since junior year high school. You're like, okay, you know, you don't really feel for them. This was, you know, again, relatability. Like, we do relate to people in their 60s and 70s in a way that probably more so than Joe Abs, who's 27 and saying he's ready to get married.
I know. I agree. And even just... going back to the women and them having a new confidence to them. I mean, just even from the beginning when, you know, the cameras came out and they started introducing all the women and they just lit up. And they all had their, I think they planned it out. I think they planned out what they were going to do when their name was called.
Their hellos, the one woman who wore she didn't say anything, but she was the one that came in the sweatsuit the first. The Chicago Bears cheerleader. She did a peace sign to the side. I think she might have, with the tongue out, and she could barely get the tongue out. And you were like, I was like, did her Gen Z grandkid tell her that's what you do? It was so awkward and hilarious. Yeah, they all had different hellos.
They were doing the little, the heart, the hand hearts, and then like the blowing the kisses. I truly think they all thought through it. Before their name was called, they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
But just seeing them have, think about it. When you're that age, like, when was the last time you had an audience cheer for you?
Right. And there's stars.
Stars.
When my parents post a Facebook picture, my dad goes, how many likes did it get? My mom goes, 100. He's like, oh my God, she's viral.
Oh yeah,
you know, like,
that's viral.
Right. So like the idea, like now you're like, you are legitimate, you know, Bachelor Nation stars, you know, some more than others. But like, you're on that stage, you're getting cheered for. Like, they're eating it up. It was great. Yeah, I loved every second of it.
I loved it. And I'm excited. And I was expecting more drama. But then again, there wasn't really that much drama to begin with on this season at all.
Not at all. There's one thing, we'll get to it. Gary, even when I interviewed him and brought up the Teresa and Kathy thing, he's like, you know, finding out Gary's a mediator really like illuminated a lot for me. But he, you know, he even squashed it. He's like, He was like, if I was involved in that, it would have been done in 2 seconds. We wouldn't even have had a scene, you know, like, and you're like, okay, you know, so
please
let's get to the episode.
All right. So grab your tissues. This wasn't your typical tell all. Everyone is inspired, hopeful, and wiping their tears. So what did you name the episode?
So I had two names. One is, you know, more wide than the others. I had Our Queens Have Been Crowned. It did feel like a crowning coronation moment. It felt like the queens have been, we have put them on a pedestal of inspiration and hope. It was great. I also had Susan and the Suzettes.
Obsessed.
Susan felt like the house mother, and we kind of, we had guessed that. We kind of saw, I mean, not that that was, it was pretty obvious. But the way Susan was really kind of the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak, it showed. She was the episode.
Yeah, she was the entire episode. She chimed in when all of the other women were speaking. She was the one that was like hyping everybody up or defending or... I love Susan. I was not expecting to love Susan this much, but she is an icon.
She's
to
beloved.
Me.
I don't know how you don't make her the next, the Golden Bachelorette. Like I kind of want to see her in that role. I guess you just made a face, which I kind of agree with now that I think about it. I don't know if I care about her finding love as much as I care about watching her with friends. I
hear you on, like, definitely with her story and her personality, she makes a very good next Golden Bachelorette. But at the same time, she's more of a character type role.
Right.
She's the
friend in the sitcom.
Best friend, just like you said. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that kind of is there to lead it on. Not trying to say that she doesn't deserve to find love because the next Golden Bachelorette. But I think I'd rather see her as a host or like a cameo coming back, you know, like a Caitlin Bristow. She hosts a challenge or a...
Yeah.
Whatever.
You're convincing me. You're right.
But everybody loves her. I get it.
I don't know
everybody
how interesting she would be as a lead. You know, like you do need that kind of... You need a little negativity in your lead. You know, you can't just be all flowers and meatballs. What did you name the episode?
I named it The Real Housewives of Bachelor Mansion. We're coming off of BravoCon. We're also... When it panned out and like showed them all together sitting, I'm like, I got really excited thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, Real Housewives reunion type thing. That's what I had in my head. Obviously, it is not that. But I got excited for that kind of
type of drama.
Kind of energy. Just looking.
It had the look.
If you just looked at them, it had the, I was like, where's Andy Cohen?
Right.
I need Andy Cohen, not Jesse Palmer.
What'd you think of Jesse this episode? What did you think?
I thought he was real this episode.
I totally agree. I thought he was great. I was a big... I thought he showed true care for them as people. Like it was... I don't know if he doesn't show that. I don't want to say he doesn't show that for the other Bachelor contestants, but this was like he had a real... He had the, you know... The kid gloves on, but like he had the mom gloves on, you know, like you could tell he's a good son. You could tell he cares about his family. It kind of like oozed off of him. I thought he was really great.
He took the patience with everyone. He asked Faith, he was like, are you ready to see him? She goes, I don't know. Is he coming out right now? And he's like, it's okay. Like, are you ready? We can. It felt like he was like, we can wait if you want. You know, it was very protective. And then also when he cried. At first, I was like, please. I was like, Jesse, is it?
I was crying too, so I couldn't. I kind of felt better about myself. Like, I think it made me feel, it kind of gave me permission, I think.
Yeah. But I saw him, like, you know, wipe the corners of his eyes, and I'm like, okay. But then I saw the big tear straight down his face, and I gasped.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, he really is crying. This is. And then I started, the waterworks happened. It gave me permission as well.
Right.
I mean, I was already crying a little bit, but then I felt even more.
You know, I'm not even sure if this is a real thing. It's popping to my head now. But like some presidents are good wartime presidents. and some presidents are good peacetime presidents, like, you know, like are more suited for peacetime than wartime and vice versa. Jesse feels more suited for peacetime. Like he feels more suited for this show somehow. And it made me kind of want more of him and Gary from the season. Like, I kind of wished he was more involved. I don't know. I was definitely like, I've always liked him, like, as a host. He did seem to like this episode. Yeah, the crying was real. Like, it wasn't.
It was. I mean, there was that tear coming straight from his eye, and I was shaking.
Right.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service, and for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
So we come into the women tell all. They all look incredible. They all look more, you know, it's funny. Like, they do look different than when you said they look like the Real Housewives from a wide angle. I was like, wow, this is not Rent the Runway. This is Filene's. Like, this is department store.
Oh, yeah.
This is this is Bloomingdale's. This is Nordstrom. Neiman's, Nordstrom's. This is not, you know, Revolve Bandage Dress. No, this was, it has a different, it was clothes that they owned already, not that they bought for this. Like, it just felt like, very lived in, so to speak.
Prom style, almost. I loved it.
So we go back to the beginning of the journey. They show us all the women in the house. And, the whole theme of tonight is, here's a new perspective on what's, you know, what it's like to be single in your 60s and 70s. And, you know, this next phase of life, so to speak. And then we get to Kathy and Teresa. What did you think of Kathy? First of all, Kathy looked fantastic. I got to say, she
did.
She had a glow up, I thought, more than the others. What did you think of her explanation of it and how she did, how she kind of like talked about the drama? Because it was the only drama.
Yeah, I don't know. She never really apologized at all.
Right.
Actually, she didn't.
No.
She straight up didn't apologize, which is, I mean, fine, I guess. We always talk about, like, if you're going to do it, own it.
Right.
It's she's who you are. But there was never an apology.
She said the things that people who, you know, she said, I'm a straight shooter, which is what assholes say. You know, like, which was, you know, like, and I say asshole in, like, people who, you know, like, I know a lot of assholes who call themselves straight shooters. And I'm friends with them. So, like, I'm not saying it in, like, I'm just, like, she did the response. She did the response that moms do, where she, instead of apologizing, it's enough already. It's over. She kind of did that.
Yes.
She, you know, Teresa isn't even there, and she speaks for her. So she speaks for her, her, her sparring partner, you know, like, and we all just accept it because it was just such a mom, like, it's over, enough, we're done, zip it. Teresa's fine. She would say the same. We're good. Like, that was the whole explanation.
That's exactly right, because she goes like, Teresa, I think Teresa knows
right.
that I didn't mean it. And I was like, does she? Right. And then I'm waiting for I reached out to Teresa no. after the show or I, nope, there wasn't any of that. You're totally right. She was like, but it's in the past. We're over it. Luckily, she had Susan backing her up right. and being like, that's not Kathy, which softened it up a little bit.
Totally agree.
I think Susan
did
really
her
helped.
A favor. Susan is yeah. our trustworthy captain, Susan and the Suzettes. You're right. And you, when Susan said it, when Susan's like, and also like, she's in, what's the name of their girl group? You know, SARS, what's it called?
Oh.
They're called Askin. Yeah, you're Askin. We're telling.
Askin, we're telling.
Yeah. Kathy and Susan are part of Askin. You know, like, listen, it's like in wrestling. I trust if you're in the NWO, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, like if you're, you know, I trust, you know, a member of the team, you know, so, yeah, so that gets squashed, you know, like immediately by Kathy in the most Kathy way. I don't, and honestly, yeah. I don't think Teresa has the wherewithal to like answer back to that. I think she would go, good. I actually
yeah,
trust.
She just wants to be done with it.
Right.
Teresa truly wants to be done with it, I think, because she's over it.
So now we get into a culture clash. It's the Susan has gas montage. Now, this went way longer than I could have ever imagined and got borderline gross, borderline a Latino Italian war of a certain type. Like it got into meatballs versus
it was the
guac.
Guacamole. No, it was the meatballs. Right. No, it was the guacamole.
It was very what? Funny. It was like the openness with which gas is talked about because it's called gas, I think. Like, I think something about calling yes. it gas opens it up to, like, it's not like I have to take a shit. It's, I got
yeah,
a little
it's
gas.
Not, I'm farting. Right. It's gas.
And I guess Susan blamed the guacamole that Edith made. And Edith was blaming, saying it was the meatballs that Susan made.
Kathy said it was the meatballs. Everybody was saying it was the meatballs. She goes, no, it was the guac.
It's the guac. So there were sides taken, arguments had, love was lost. What did you think of the Susan shits her pants package?
I mean, I love, it just shows how much these women don't care. It's like,
right.
this. Listen, this is what it is at this age. We can talk about it openly and freely. This isn't embarrassing. We're all doing it.
Right.
I mean, she even tells Gary when they're
yeah.
having a conversation, goes, I have really bad gas.
I don't know.
Because she said she accidentally let one slip out
right.
while they were talking.
And
I'm
like
dying.
They said that she was taking her ass and put it out the door to like let it outside. You know, like
and then I spent the weekend in Vegas and couldn't poop for 4 days.
Right.
I don't know what to do.
Listen, we all got our problems. I had crabbed it in Baltimore and it almost ruined my life. So I will say it was a fun moment. I couldn't believe how long it went. The guacamole versus meatball
the
debate
meatballs.
Rages on. The I Edith, just to come back to Edith, she was a big part of this episode. She wasn't really a big part of like she was a big part of the show because I think like her look like kind of
yeah,
like
because she was glamorous. Uh-huh.
Right. I think her look kind of gave way to like being on camera like you know, like you kind of like zone in on her, especially like with the age thing, you kind of like just notice her because you're like,
yeah,
she's like a supermodel basically. But it was interesting to see like, it's funny, like you're in a house of all women who, and Jesse Palmer even says this. He's like, all of you over the years have become fantastic cooks. Like you've cooked for maybe your family or something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it is funny to see a whole house of like recipes come together. Like,
I mean, all they were making at, what was it? it was like shrimp or something.
Right.
In past during seasons. The regular bachelor right. seasons. And then these women are making meatballs and guacamole. And I'm sure they're making a ton of different things because they want to like show off right. in front of each other.
And also like, you know, moms generally just keep busy. Like, you know, yes. moms just like they're cleaning something. They're taking your stuff. You know, they're always. Going through your garbage. They're, so if you're in a house that you're not really, you know, responsible for. What are you going to do? How do you keep the hands moving?
They're living it up.
Let's make some food, you know? So
it's also interesting, this section, because it just shows how little there is to talk about.
Right. And to
do. Like, we have to do a whole section on guacamole oh. gas because we have nothing else.
And did this episode, I guess we get the screener, so but it was longer. I mean, is this an hour and a half tonight?
Yeah, this is a bit longer. This was like, I think it said when we were watching, it was like 55 minutes. So without the commercials, I think it is like an hour and a half.
Yeah, so
something
I mean.
Something like that.
It is interesting that they like went away from the hour thing. I'm with you. I don't know if they needed to do that. But like, again, no. like we get to a Kris Jenner cameo. Like Kris Jenner comes on, there's an admission that she looks a lot like Susan. She loves Susan. I didn't know the Kardashians
obsessed
were big
obsessed with that.
Well, the Kardashians are big fans of The Bachelor. They even mentioned it on a recent season that like Kim might go on. There was like an April Fool's prank that she
right.
would go on. What did you think of the Kris Jenner cameo? And weirdly done on Jesse's phone for some reason. Like, why yeah. not just put it on the big screen?
I think he was trying to make it seem as though it was like such a personal message. Like, you know what? I'm going to show you this on my phone.
Right.
Like, make it
not
seem
necessary.
More casual. Like, not necessary. None of us needed that. Like, I'd rather watch it up on the big screen.
Right.
Whatever. But I mean, I thought it was sweet. I love the Kardashians. I just love them in general. And so seeing Kris Jenner comment on it, we also saw a picture of Kris and Gary at some point that was floating around the internet that I think he like went to her house or whatever, but they met and I loved it.
it is interesting to me, like just from like, if I remove myself from it, like I the Kardashians are great. Like there's nothing you know, wrong with
yeah.
them. I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I was like, I'm not a hater of the Kardashians. It is interesting that like the weight Kris Kardashian has to even
Kris
these
Jenner.
Women or Kris Jenner, sorry, but to these women, like for them to be like the queen showed up, you know, to bring back the regalness. Like,
oh yeah.
When she shows up, it was like, it was a little bit like Hannah Brown showing up to Bachelor in Paradise, like, oh, like we've been graced with the presence, you know, like.
I mean, they're all the same age. They're all the right. same age, you know, Kris and all the women are the same exact age. And so seeing her is like if Kim or Kylie were to pop up on, you know, one of the regular Bachelorette seasons or Bachelor seasons. And I love that she did that, and giving Susan that shout out was probably, I mean,
loving her haircut.
Susan's gonna take that recording and never. It's like the best cameo
right.
Video that you didn't have to pay for.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
So we go to the Joan section of the show. What did you think of the Joan stuff?
I mean, it was obviously very sad because we find out that her daughter had a really serious case of postpartum depression and had to go home. And she said it made it harder how Gary reacted because he was so understanding. She was like, because now I see him as how great of a father and partner he would be, etc. I still don't know if Joan, I know Joan got a lot of hype. I still don't know if I want Joan to be our next Golden Bachelorette. I know that she got a lot of, we love Joan, make her the next Golden Bachelorette. I'm like, I don't really know. I didn't feel anything with her.
So I don't want to look at the risk of sounding bad and like a hater. I didn't buy Joan's whole thing. She might buy it, but I didn't buy it. Mm. Like, I think she buys her own bullshit, but I didn't buy it. I don't mean to be Mr. Negative. I love this episode. I love all the women. I'm with you. There wasn't a lot of personality in Joan. You know, to me.
No. I'd
much rather Susan as the friend of the sitcom be the lead than Joan, to me. I'm with you.
I had no attachment to her at all.
I feel very sorry for her daughter and the postpartum, you know, and I don't have any relation to that or know what that's like. It didn't seem like Joan was too into Gary. And it seems like Joan, her kind of retelling of it, of like, I'd like to find someone like, yeah, of course you'd like to find someone like Gary that you're into. Like, I don't know. It didn't seem like she, and Gary, I'm not sure if he said this on camera or off. Jorge might have to remind me if he's here. But Gary pushed for a date with Joan. That was after the talent show. Oh. He said that he didn't, the producers were like kind of pushing him in another direction. He made a point to get a date with Joan. Like, he really wanted to meet her more.
Oh, wow.
And so they had that date, and then she leaves right after it. So, like, you know, so maybe, so if we look at, like, if we take that into consideration, like, you have someone pushing for a date with you, you go on that date, you go, this guy obviously has a thing for me, I better get out of here. Like, I think that's as worthy a conspiracy as anything else. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to, like, maybe think that might have been what happened. I will say, you know, then Joan brings up being invisible, and, like, listen, I had trouble buying that as well. I understand, like, you get to a certain age, you can feel that way, but, like, I can't really sit here in a country where every politician is the same age as the people on The Golden Bachelor, and TV is literally made for them. They're the biggest generation. Listen, not to go on, like, shit talking boomers, you know, section of this, but, like, I don't buy the invisibility thing. I don't, you know, your buying power's huge. Your generation's huge. You're on TV. This show is happening. It is a response to how big your generation is. I do understand feeling invisible as a older woman who's single. That can be true. But, like, I don't know. I wasn't buying the sob story. I'm sorry to be the hater.
I wasn't either. Also, with her, I mean, it's not like she's some, like, little random.
She's gorgeous.
You know, 67. She's gorgeous.
She's absolutely.
She looks like Barbie.
Right. She's so, like, yeah, maybe, you know, and I would assume you've been hot, you know, conventionally hot your whole entire life. So I do understand when you get older as the hottest person in your generation for 50 years, you go, I'm so invisible. You know, 20-year-old guys don't want to fuck me anymore. It's like, okay, I don't know. I'm not like, we can't just ignore the reality that this is like one of the most beautiful women in their 60s I've ever seen telling me she feels invisible. I don't doubt that she feels that way, but I doubt the relatability a little bit.
It's a little off.
I was watching it going, I can't believe I'm annoyed. The past two presidents are your age. Like, it's like you are represented. Like, it's like, it's not like, you know, we, you know, if you're going to talk about invisible generations, let's talk about Gen X. You know, no one even talks about Gen X. You know, we had Kurt Cobain and that was it. So that's an invisible generation. They had no online personality. They have no online presence. We never hear from Gen X. We don't even know
what Gen X is.
Right. Get out of here.
Where that exists.
So, like, if anyone's invisible, it's Gen X, I have to say. So, like, end of rant.
For Gen X.
I'm sorry. Okay, so now we go to happier, but, like, more relatable. Ellen comes to the couch. Now, and again, we talked a little bit about this and the tearjerker. Ellen is like, again, I could see her being the Golden Bachelorette. The story, here's what I would say. And you brought up Cameo before. Like, here's the thing. This made me feel so good about Friends sharing this show in whatever way they do. Like if you,
I know,
you know, like us chit chatting about The Bachelor, you can say whatever you want. It's a little embarrassing to be like, yeah, I have a podcast that talks about The Bachelor and Bachelorette. But what a beautiful thing. And I remember, so I'll tell a brief story to kind of relate it to this. I remember.
Cute. Let's hear it.
When Cameo came out during the pandemic, they started getting in touch with me, like the Cameo people. Did they ever get in touch with you?
Yeah, I got a few Cameo like requests, and I was like, please.
From
me?
From the people that work there, right?
No, well, yes, from the people that worked there, but I also got, they had me create an account,
right,
and people reached out for actual Cameos.
So when Cameo came out, they had all these people that work there that would like DM you and text you, and I used to delete the, first they would DM you, and I would delete the DMs. I'd be like, who the fuck am I to go on Cameo? Yeah. Who's going to pay for
exactly
me to say hello to them? And then, over the months, you keep getting these DMs, and like finally I'm like, what is this? Like I get curious.
Listen, I get DMs asking people to say hello to you from them. They're like, will you tell Jared I said, and I'm like, sure,
but
let me send the message.
I felt like my dad after show. My dad goes, I take pictures after shows. My dad's like, who would want a picture with you? And I'm like, I don't know. And it was the same for Cameo. I was like, who would pay for this? And then the Cameo people, I get on the phone with them, they explain the whole thing, and I go, I guess I'll do it, whatever. And then
yeah,
I did it, and my whole perspective changed, because I was like, oh, now I get it, because it was like two friends who were sending each other my stuff. They had a communication mm-hmm via shit that I put out there that like I'm putting out there to be shared, but I didn't even like,
yeah,
but like the way internet sharing goes, it's like very, you know, from desk to desk in the cafeteria, it's very like on the sly, it's very like personal and private. And to see Ellen and Roberta, who had this like very long relationship, but also like it involved like chit-chats about The Bachelor and a very personal thing. It made me think of like when someone gets a Cameo from some random idiot like me and the two friends go, oh my God, it's our thing. You know, it made me think of, yes, Ellen and Roberta, it's our thing. And how many people out there that share this show as a device to keep in touch with old friendships. It was just, that was like the part of it. Like, of course, Roberta passing and the story is so sad, but like, the heartwarming part to me was like, this show serves as like such a nice device and a distraction to like talk to a friend that maybe it would, you know, you have nothing else to talk about with. You know what I mean? I don't know. That was like my takeaway.
I get that. And I agree, because, you know, you have all the people that are like, well, I don't watch The Bachelor, right? You know, all the haters out there. And, you know, we watch The Bachelor every week, obviously, but even like I get up super early to talk about this, and yes, it's like a job, but I love talking about it with you. It's like fun and it gets it out of my system, because this is one of those shows that you kind of have to do with someone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's weird watching The Bachelor alone. It's weird watching alone. I even do it like I'll watch the episodes ahead of time. We'll record, but I'll still watch them on Thursday with my roommate and my friends, even though I've already seen it, because it feels good to watch it with other people or talk about it or be online. I can't tweet anymore. I was kicked off Twitter.
Another podcast for another day. Fodder. It's stuff to talk about. That's not your own problems. It can be related to your own problems. Again, I'm relating this to like, you know, Cameo. I remember like the warm feeling I got that like people would be like, when they sent someone a Cameo, it was like, I was the vessel that kept them talking and chit-chatting.
And
like,
how cool is that?
And that's kind of The Bachelor for, you know, Ellen and Roberta. Like, that was like, and so like, it was cool to see, like, it was, again, 80 for Brady. I keep bringing up that movie, but like, it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like, oh my God, the thing we've been following our whole lives together, there's an opportunity for one of us to go on. Like, I kept imagining Ellen and Roberta at home being like, send it in. Do it. You know, why wouldn't, you know, like I kept thinking about that.
My eyes are getting watery thinking about that.
All right, I'll stop. So Roberta's daughter is there to surprise her. And then Jerry comes in. Crowd goes wild. He's got a dad tie on. And there's a big, we got a good big dog Jerry moment. He's like, he's like, when I saw these women, granddaughters be damned. Big dog Gary, big dog gotta eat.
Gotta eat.
Gotta eat. Big dog gotta eat.
He even came out, Gary was like, I just love all these women. I love every single one of them.
Right.
I just loves love them all. Them. And he was, loves them all. He's in love with all of them. I was like, I can't with this guy.
And the women.
He really does just give off this fun bachelor kind of vibe. And big dog gotta eat.
Big dog Gary.
He is next level.
The dog pound was woofing.
And he's always wearing like a suit that looks a little too big.
So he came into the office.
Like the shoulder pads.
Hold on. He came into the office. Tag's still on the suit. I'm so mad at him bringing this up in the interview. In the inside of his jacket, the tags are still on it. I was like, what are you returning this? What's going on, big dog?
He's going to put on his walking shoes, grab his hot dog, and go back to Nordstrom and take the suit jacket back after he's done with press.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
He doesn't have money for this.
I know. It was big dog Gary going straight back to Filene's basement.
Literally got to eat.
Yeah.
So he's got to take that
suit back.
Jacket back.
I wish I had grabbed the inside of his jacket just to have that on camera. Like, I'm so mad at myself. Like, Gary, what is it, $14.99 at Men's Warehouse?
Literally.
We go to the rose ceremony, and it's Leslie, Teresa, and Faith. And then he sends Faith home. I was surprised. What did you think?
Home. I can't believe he chose Leslie. That was weird to me.
Had he already chosen Leslie, and it was between Teresa and Faith, right?
He had already chosen Leslie, and I think he chose Leslie because that was the last woman he had an encounter with, like on the dates. Like, she was top of mind, because I think if it were Faith, that was the last one that he would had an encounter with, like had that last date with, I think he would have chosen her. I don't know why he chose Leslie. It doesn't hit like Teresa and Faith do.
Really? So that's the one that surprised you of the three? Of the
Leslie
two.
Was the one that surprised me. I cannot believe he sent Faith home. I'm actually shocked. They made out in front of their kids and said, I love you in front of her kids.
I know. And
that's crazy.
I think what got Gary out from Faith, I think it was logistics more than romantics. I think it was when she said, my horse is buried here, I'd be like, we're very different people. That would be the moment.
Yeah.
When she said, like, someone DM'd me, they're like, it was very funny. They were like, yeah, but Gary's wife is buried somewhere else. Like, it's a little different than your horse that's buried. Like,
we got to make some real decisions here.
Right. So if I went home with someone and they're like, well, I got to move back here, my horse is buried here, that sentence alone would show me that, like, we are not, maybe we're very different, and it's this experience that's making me fall for them. Like, if we had met in any other circumstance, I'd be like, this crazy chick is talking about her dead horse. Like, I don't know. Like, I would be kind of jolted into reality. You know what I mean? Like, how could...
I mean, her life is very intense. Like, she's riding... We were talking about it. She's riding her horse to the grocery store. Like, Gary's not taking a horse to the grocery store.
Someone else also messaged me that, like, they live in the town, too. And they're like, that's not a thing. Like, that's not... They're like, I don't know, maybe you could ride a horse to the grocery store. Like, I don't know. Like, but it was like,
but no.
Yeah. They were like, that's crazy talk. But I and then Faith comes out and sits down, and she's very emotional, and, like, you know, Gary's emotional, and she says, I love you.
They both cried.
Yeah,
I know.
She literally, when they get, you know, they Gary and Faith, they like one thing together, a fun whisper talk. I will say that. They love a whisper sexy talk, because they had another one of those, like they did in front of the family. And she's like, she says, I love you still. And you go, oh, I feel for Faith. And it's like, you know, there's not a lot of life left to, like, sit there like mourning a breakup, you know, but.
She does say
she's inspired. Like, she has the same kind of, like, talking points that all the other women have, that, like, Gary showed me I can love again and I deserve it. But it does seem like Faith was, like, She kept bringing up that she felt bad for her kids. And I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, that was a...
Yeah, I mean, sure. But she's like, yeah, my kids are worried about me. But your kids also don't... It happens. We've all been through breakups. This has nothing to do, honestly, with your kids. It's about you.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I didn't like the using the kids as, like... And
even,
my,
but even Gary said, like, I broke a promise to your kids. But it's like, that's not what this is about. Like, obviously,
right.
You know, obviously there was something more with the other women, or like you saw life with them more than you saw with Faith. And like, you know, Faith is going to be fine. Like, I truly believe that, in the same way that all these women are going to be fine. But it was very sad. And, you know, she was definitely like hurting.
And there was so many parts that was very relatable. It was very relatable. Like when she, when he came out and they finally sit down and she was like talking to him, but kept putting her hand on his leg. And she goes, I'm sorry. I don't know how to not touch you, which is such a real thing. It's like meeting up, with an ex, like just to like chat or something afterwards, you know, like the skid marks that kind of come after breakups and talking about things. And you don't know how to not interact with that person because that's all you've known.
Right.
Like they weren't friends before.
Right, right, right. You only know each other as dating.
They only know each other. Right. So that was such a, I felt that. I was like, damn, I know what that feels like. It's like seeing that person, then you have to act completely different. How do you do that? How do you go back to being friends? I don't understand how people, when they go through breakups, are able to go back to being friends with their significant other.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's going to be that way for them. I think like this didn't have the feel of like maybe Susan and the Askin group, but it didn't have the feel that like Gary was going to be in TikToks with like his final three. Like, especially Leslie, Teresa, and Faith, especially like their place on the show felt different than the other women's place. Like, the other women were like the fun women. Like, Ellen could have been included in either group. Like, Ellen could have been in the fun woman group or the I've fallen for Gary group. But like, these three don't seem like they're going to like chit chat after this. It feels like they're going to like be a wife with Gary.
They're going in their separate ways.
Right.
I also want to know, what do you think about, like, I want to know what the woman he chose, which we don't know yet. I want to know what she's thinking watching this. Watching them like sob in each other's arms.
I think she understands.
You know what I mean?
That comes up a lot. We've talked about that in other episodes, other versions of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I think if you're her, you're watching and you kind of get it. Like, I think like you're going like, I think it's more about the loss of companionship than it is that they have this love that no one else can understand. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like, so, and I think that's kind of what we felt from all the women. Like, they're like, I'm inspired to find someone, but I really want to find someone that can be a companion. You're like, it was, yeah, I don't know.
I know what you're saying. I just, in my head, I got like, I was like, oh God, if I was the one that he chose and he's sitting here crying in another woman's arms, I'm like, did he make the right decision? Is he questioning me?
Right. I guess I saw it as him feeling horrible that he hurt someone and hurt a family.
Yeah, and then you're right. That's totally
it. Like I think she saw it as like, this is a boat that I missed. You know, it could have worked. Mm-hmm. I think like the idea of soulmates, like I think you see stuff like this and you go, it's just, it could work with a different mates, you know, like it could be. It just didn't work, you know, so we end the episode with bloopers. It's the first time I like bloopers. I got to say, I enjoyed them.
Same.
I usually hate bloopers. I loved it.
These were the best I've ever seen. These were the best bloopers. I could have watched an entire episode on bloopers.
Totally. What's her name? Farting?
Sandra.
Sandra.
Just so doesn't care.
I mean, the
just
longest
sat there and,
fart
like,
ever.
Dead in the eye.
I don't know if they were doing that like as a joke. The Gary so that was fun to like
hilarious.
Learn that little like tick that he kind of has. It was great. It was just a fun episode. A lot of stuff to talk about. And now we go to Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting into the fantasy suites. And I'm
Big dog got to eat. Time for big dog.
It's supper time.
It's supper time, supper baby. Time. Time for big dog Gary. Get his.
I wonder what decision he's going to make. Like how he's going to
He's
going to
decide to get blown. Handle this. That's the decision.
Right?
So funny.
Like I feel like he has to. He's like, this is my I haven't been with a woman in, you know.
They do the previews and it's talking about when's the last time you had sex? I mean it comes up. It's
I can't.
I'm excited.
Leslie asked that, I'm sure.
It's so pumped. So
it's going to be a good one.
So we'll be All with right. Big Dog next episode.
Yes. So make sure you listen to Jared's interview with Gary. We did have a Bachelor in Paradise episode out this week as well. You can follow us on Instagram at The Bachelor, and you can follow me at KY City. Jared, what do you have going on this week?
I'm in Toledo tomorrow night, if you're around Toledo. And then I'm going to be in Cincinnati Saturday night. I think it's a private show. Kay's hometown of the Natty.
Cincinnati,
I gotta get
let's
the
go.
I got to get the chili pasta so I can
Skyline chili, yeah, but don't get it before your show. That could also ruin your life.
I'll be turning
if you're not
Susan.
Used to it.
And then I'm in Dania Beach, Florida. If you're listening and you're in Southeast Florida, Dania Beach for Thanksgiving week. So the whole week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so get involved. And we'll be back next week. The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.